Chapter 40, Visitation of Special Member Groups. Family. Family visitation may be the most profitable work a minister does. This part of the pastoral work is not to be neglected or shifted upon your wives or some other person. You must educate and train yourselves to visit every family that you can possibly get access to. The results of this work will testify that it is the most profitable work a gospel minister can do. The way to measure the effectiveness of your preaching is through visiting with families to whom you preached. How are you to know that the word spoken in the desk has been a savor of life unto life unless you visit in families, praying with them, and drawing out the true state of their minds, the real condition of their experience, that you may point them to the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world? There is need that the breath of God should blow upon them, and give them spiritual life. The churches need to be enlightened in regard to practical religion in the home life. Speaking helpful, encouraging words in the home is far more effective than preaching. This is home missionary work, work that God's ministers are to strive faithfully to do. They are not only to preach, they are to minister by going from house to house, becoming acquainted with the different families in the church, some of whom may be converted, while others are still without God and without hope in the world. It is possible to preach many sermons without accomplishing the work essential for the well-being of the people of God. The discourses given are to be followed with personal labor. A work may be done by visiting people in their homes, and speaking helpful, encouraging words to them, which will be far more effective than the work done by preaching. When visiting, aim to converse with all family members, whether they profess the truth or not. Visiting from house to house forms an important part of the minister's labors. He should aim to converse with all the members of the family, whether they profess the truth or not. It is his duty to ascertain the spiritual condition of all, and he should live so near to God that he can counsel, exhort, and reprove, carefully and in wisdom. He should have the grace of God in his own heart and the glory of God constantly in view. All lightness and trifling is positively forbidden in the Word of God. His conversation should be in heaven, his words seasoned with grace. Prayer should be a part of each family visit, but there is another point that I had almost forgotten. It is the influence which the preacher should exert in his ministry. His work is not merely to stand in the desk. It is but just begun there. He should enter the different families, and carry Christ there. Carry his sermons there, carry them out in his actions and his words. As he visits a family, he should inquire into their condition. Is he the shepherd of the flock? The work of a shepherd is not all done in the desk. He should talk with all the members of the flock, with the parents to learn their standing, and with the children to learn theirs. A minister should feed the flock over which God has made him overseer. It would be agreeable to go into the house and study. But if you do this to the neglect of the work which God has commissioned you to perform, you do wrong. Never enter a family without inviting them together, and bowing down and praying with them before you leave. Inquire into the health of their souls. What does a skillful physician do? He inquires into the particulars of the case, then seeks to administer remedies. Just so the physician of the soul should inquire into the spiritual maladies with which the members of his flock are afflicted, then go to work to administer the proper remedies, and ask the great physician to come to his aid. Give them the help that they need. Such ministers will receive all that respect and honor which is due them as ministers of Christ. And in doing for others, their own souls will be kept alive. They must be drawing strength from God in order to impart strength to those to whom they shall minister. Poor. Every minister should be a friend of the poor, every gospel minister should be a friend to the poor, the afflicted, and the oppressed among God's believing people. Christ was always the poor man's friend, and the interests of the poor need to be sacredly guarded. There has too often been a wonderful dearth of Christ's compassion and loving interest in the poor and afflicted. Love, sacred, refined love, is to be exercised in behalf of the poor and unfortunate. Discouraged. Nothing gives greater spiritual strength than ministering to the sick and desponding. Nothing will give greater spiritual strength and a greater increase of earnestness and depth of feeling than visiting and ministering to the sick and the desponding, helping them to see the light and to fasten their faith upon Jesus. There are disagreeable duties that somebody must do or souls will be left to perish. Christians will find a blessing in doing these duties, however unpleasant they may be. Christ took the disagreeable task upon himself of coming from the abode of purity and unsurpassed glory, to dwell, a man among men, in a world seared and blackened by crime, violence, and iniquity. He did this to save souls, and shall the objects of such amazing love and unparalleled condescension excuse their lives of selfish ease? Shall they choose their own pleasure, follow their own inclinations, and leave souls to perish in darkness because they will meet with disappointment and rebuffs if they labor to save them? Christ paid an infinite price for man's redemption, and shall he say, "My Lord, I will not labor in thy vineyard, I pray thee have me excused"? Minister especially to those made despondent by guilt. Ministry does not consist alone in preaching. Those minister who relieve the sick and suffering, helping the needy, speaking words of comfort to the desponding and those of little faith. Nigh and afar off, souls are weighed down by a sense of guilt. It is not hardship, toil, or poverty that lowers and degrades humanity. It is guilt, wrongdoing. This brings unrest and dissatisfaction. Jesus would have his children minister to sin sick souls. Those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak until they become strong. When visiting the discouraged, bring a cheerful countenance, hopeful words, and the grasp of your hand. The mission of Christ was to heal the sick, encourage the hopeless, bind up the brokenhearted. This work of restoration is to be carried on among the needy, suffering ones of humanity. God calls not only for your benevolence, but your cheerful countenance, your hopeful words, the grasp of your hand. Relieve some of God's afflicted ones. Some are sick, and hope has departed. Bring back the sunlight to them. There are souls who have lost their courage. Speak to them, pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. There is a soul sickness no balm can reach, no medicine heal. Pray for these, and bring them to Jesus Christ. And in all your work, Christ will be present to make impressions upon human hearts. The darkness of discouraged members may be dispelled if they are led to work for those more needy than themselves. Our ministers may visit our churches, and may offer public prayer to God for the comfort of the sorrowing, asking Him to dispel doubt from their minds, and shed light into their darkened hearts. But this will not be so effective in helping these sorrowful, doubting, sin-burdened ones, as to lead them to work for those more needy than themselves. The darkness will be dispelled if they can be led to help others. Sick. Ministering to the afflicted is part of the minister's work, to take people right where they are, whatever their position or condition, and help them in every way possible. This is gospel ministry. Those who are diseased in body are nearly always diseased in mind, and when the soul is sick, the body also is affected. Ministers should feel it a part of their work to minister to the sick and the afflicted whenever opportunity presents itself. The minister of the gospel is to present the message, which must be received if the people are to become sanctified and made ready for the coming of the Lord. This work is to embrace all that was embraced in Christ's ministry. Church members should be trained to visit the sick. The churches have been so trained that they feel no special responsibility to visit, to talk the truth, to pray with and for one another, to visit the sick, to encourage them, to give sympathy and love, and make it manifest that in Christ they are members one of another. As ministers of strong faith pray for the sick, humanity is brought in touch with divinity, with awakened conscience. Many a troubled soul, suffering bodily ailments as the result of continued transgression, cries out, "Lord, be merciful to me a sinner, make me thy child." It is then that the minister, strong in faith, should be ready to tell the sufferer that there is hope for the penitent, that in Jesus everyone who longs for help and acceptance may find deliverance and peace. He who in meekness and love thus brings the gospel to the afflicted soul so much in need of its message of hope, is a mouthpiece for the one who gave himself for mankind. As he speaks helpful, appropriate words, and as he offers prayer for the one lying on a bed of suffering, Jesus makes the application. God speaks through human lips. The heart is reached. Humanity is brought into touch with divinity. Anointing and divine healing. Ministers should not only preach the kingdom, but also pray for the afflicted. When the Savior sent the disciples out to preach the word, he gave them power to cure diseases. They were to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. This was the twofold command given them. To our ministers the same command is given. They are to offer prayer for the afflicted, that the Lord God of Israel may take these cases under his oversight. If his workers will cooperate with him, if they will sense the sacredness of the work that Christ did, and the work he would have them do, their ministry will be marked by a sacredness that will give evidence of its heavenly inspiration. Do not claim to be a miracle worker. Multitudes have heard me speak, and have read my writings, but no one has ever heard me claim to work miracles. I have at times been called upon to pray for the sick, and the word of the Lord has been verified. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Christ is the great miracle worker. To him be all the glory. Anointing does not heal the sick. Jesus does. The question has been asked by some, has Sister White healed the sick? I answer, no, Sister White has often been called to pray for the sick, and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and with them she has claimed the fulfillment of the promise, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. No human power can save the sick, but, through the prayer of faith, the mighty healer has fulfilled his promise to those who have called upon his name. No human power can pardon sin or save the sinner. None can do this but Christ, the merciful physician of body and soul. Anointing should not be requested for every little ailment. I understand the text in James is to be carried out when a person is sick upon his bed. If he calls for the elders of the church, and they carry out the directions in James, anointing the sick with oil, in the name of the Lord, praying over him the prayer of faith. We read, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It cannot be our duty to call for the elders of the church for every little ailment we have, for this would be putting a task upon the elders. If all should do this, their time would be fully employed. They could do nothing else, but the Lord gives us the privilege of seeking him individually in earnest prayer, of unburdening our souls to him, keeping nothing from him who has invited us, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, how grateful we should be that Jesus is willing and able to bear all our infirmities and strengthen and heal all our diseases if it will be for our good and for his glory. Some died in the days of Christ and in the days of the apostles because the Lord knew just what was best for them. Anointing should normally be offered only to commandment keepers. You inquire if we should pray for none that are sick except those in the third angel's message, or pray for all that shall make application, etc. Is our rule to follow? Is any sick among you? Let him call, etc. It is those that are among us. God had shown me those who keep God's commandments are to have nothing to do in anointing and special prayer for the sick of those who are daily trampling them underfoot, unless it is in some special case where souls are convicted of the truth and are decided to move out upon it. The partition wall between commandment keepers and those who trample them underfoot should be kept, quoted in 1 Bio 404. Ellen White performed the anointing service. Just as the meeting closed, Sister Mead, who had been afflicted with a slow fever, requested us to pray for her. We went into a room by ourselves, Brethren Holt, Wheeler, Stowell, James, and self. After I had anointed her with oil, we prayed over her, and she was healed every whit and fell prostrate by the power of God. That night we got into a rowboat and went on the pond about 1 mile to Brother Mead's. His sister was there with a very sick child. We anointed it with oil and prayed over it, and God heard our prayers.